Happy New Year! It's 2010, here on Eat to the Beat. I'm Sarah Obritis, and Eat to the Beat airs on heritageradionetwork.com, as you know, because you are logged on. And the show is sponsored by TechServe. Thanks, guys. You've done a, you really helped give us our start electronically, technologically. Thanks to TechServe, they gave us life. Let's see. So, Eat to the Beat. We're basically the crossroads of food and farming and music and art and performance and any and all artistic endeavors. And we've had cowboy experts, cowboy music experts on the air in 09. We've had sound engineers on the air telling us how to set your volumes and beats per minutes in the restaurant. And we've had sawists who play saws and whisks. And what else does she play? Martini shakers. And today is the new dawning of a new age of the same wonderful stuff. We have in the house Aram Bajakian, who is a guitarist, a noise guitarist, but he probably will correct me because he's so much more. He is he's a guitarist who's played with Yusef Latif, Mark Rebo, and the dude from Cannes,
Malcolm Mooney.
And he's having a lot of fun sitting here at Roberta's, eating pizza, drinking wine, and playing music. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Cool.
So he has a number of different outfits. We'll hear him play. We'll hear what he plays, and we'll talk about food because he has a prolific food blog. Yeah. No, but his is very, very, very cool with some wonderful, really wonderful photography. And he moved.
Wow, that's a first, because normally people say my photography is disgusting.
No, I like it because it's super, super up close. In fact, we're going to talk about tell us, what camera do you use?
It's a Canon. I don't know what type. I know it's a Canon.
It's just a normal digital, nothing special.
Yeah, nothing special. The key is to turn off the flash and to get up close.
Yeah, I mean, it looks sometimes gory because perhaps that's the type of stuff you're eating.
Yeah.
But it's pretty sharp.
I used to use my BlackBerry phone camera, and that made everything look bad. But
how do people get to your blog?
It's aramscarum.blogspot.com. That's aramscarum.
There's one picture of, I guess you took a trip to some apple farm and you bit into an apple. The apple was almost all gone, but you took a shot of how white and crisp, and you knew what that apple tasted like just by this close-up.
Yeah, because I'm quite an apple snob, because the town I grew up in had a lot of apple orchards, so I can't eat apples from the supermarket. They're just...
Yeah, no way.
I'm an apple snob.
I used to like buying apples in the supermarket just so I could sit there and scratch off the wax and try scratch my name into it. You notice, like, the wax sort of stops.
It's kind of
at
like apple graffiti.
Yeah, exactly. I could start a blog.
Yeah.
So, Aram, you where did you grow up, and how?
I grew up in a really small town in Massachusetts called Lunenburg. It had, like, I had 100 people in my graduating high school class. It was really tiny. So I just would play my guitar all the time. And I guess I would eat. I cooked a lot when I was in high school. But it was it was a really nice, quaint town. There were lots of dairy farms, too. So
the heart of the real Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And you have a family member who was pretty instrumental, no pun intended, in creating your virtuosity.
Oh yeah, my uncle was a blues guitar player, and he was amazing. Charlie D, and he was really kind of well known for a while in the Massachusetts area as being a blues guitarist, and particularly on slide guitar. So I remember, I was just a little kid who would bring all these old guitars over to our house and play all this crazy stuff on them, and it was really cool.
How many guitars do you have?
Maybe like 7 or 8. I don't really know.
Acoustics.
Yeah, the whole range. But this is the one I play mostly.
But no V, no flying
V. No flying V, because I'm not cool enough for those. Shucks. I played this is a Telecaster made by this guy, in on Carmine Street in the West Village named Rick Kelly. And actually the wood from this came, Jim Jarmusch was redoing his house, and he took the pine beams from the roof and gave them to Rick, and Rick built all these guitars out of them. And actually Mark Ribot plays the same guitar. I saw him play in Poland in October, and he was playing a Rick Kelly Telecaster too. So
beautiful. I vow in 2010 to accompany this radio show with photography, speaking of which, because that's hot stuff. Or you can visit this shop on Carmine Street. I guess there was a lot of wood coming out of Jim Jarmusch's house. So tell us how you got to play with some of these. I mean, Mark Ribot is one of my all-time favorites. They're a German sort of instro crazy.
Yeah, they're
kind of
like
sound.
Yeah, an avant-garde German band. I just sort of through people I know, like with Mark, I played with him through my friend and the drummer Sean Noonan. I played with him on a couple projects, and then with Can, it was just through some other people I know, and that's sort of how it happened. So
was it mainly in New York where you were hooking up with these guys?
Yeah, it was all in New York. Yeah.
What would you, how do you feel about, I mean, where are the spots? Where are the comfortable, you know, the historic, do we have any more venues that sort of reach us, like Knitting? I know Knitting Factory is alive and well in Brooklyn, but I mean, the places like that that are no longer, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, there's like the Stone and on the Lower East Side, and, mm-hmm. and there's definitely clubs. I think there's always a scene happening. You just have to tap into it.
You just have to move on from those.
I really like the scene, and that's starting to happen in Queens, that my friend Gus is starting out or starting up. It's really, really happening. There's a lot of great musicians coming out of there, and it's a lot of fun going and playing and seeing all these great players and songwriters and stuff.
Yeah, and so. Playing in unique, you know, I guess you don't need to have the historical locations to make history, of course. So I think Gus and a lot of the guys and like yourself in Queens pick up in bars, and you sort of like collaborate in perhaps more sort of low-key spots that aren't typically known as music venues.
Yeah, definitely.
So what about this new neighborhood that you're in?
Oh yeah, I just I was away. I'd been living in Brooklyn for like 5 or 6 years, and I went off to go on tour in October, and when I came back I needed a new apartment, so I decided I was sick of living in expensive crappy apartments in Williamsburg and decided to move to Jackson Heights. But I specifically chose Jackson Heights because it's such a great neighborhood for food. Like a 5-minute walk from me, I have like the best Thai restaurants and Indian restaurants and Mexican food, and it's so good every night. Like I have this amazing food. So
it's like the United Nations over there. Oh, it's really neat.
And right around the corner from me, there's this one little shop, and you go in and there's all these Indian ladies, and they make fresh bread.
So where is that?
Where is it? I think it's on 72nd Street and maybe 37th Road. I was actually planning on blogging about it soon, and going in there and writing about them, because it's just so cool, because the bread is still warm, and it's $1.50 for a package of chapatis. So, you know, where else can you get like fresh bread like that for so cheap, and then have it with some nice hummus for lunch?
And then the next stop on the number 7 train, 82nd Street, is like you get churros.
Yeah.
Great Mexican Colombian food.
Yeah, and it just keeps. I mean, Queens is the borough for food. I think it destroys all the other boroughs. So
that's true. Well, we're gonna take a moment's break and listen to Aram's collaboration with some of these aforementioned other musicians on a track called
Scabies.
Scabies.
Thank you.
Hi. You're on, you're listening to, and we are on Eat to the Beat on Heritage Radio Network. And the we is me, Sarah Obritis, and Aaron Bajakian, who is playing guitar in the background with
On this track, it's Mark Rebo, Sean Noonan, and the bass player Chiano Camara is from Senegal.
And you also brought in a guy, Matt Mineri.
Yeah, but he's not on this track.
Okay, so this was an afternoon that you guys just...
Well, this was a recording session we were doing for Sean, and everybody was getting ready to pack up. I said, hey, let's jam out on this tune I have called Scabies, which is a tune I wrote when I was in college. I studied drumming in Ghana, and I came down with a really nasty case of scabies, and it was awful. So it was a tune I wrote about that. I guess it's kind of nasty to be talking about that while also discussing food, but...
Well, so it wait goes. On the food conversation for a little bit after that. But yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. So anyway, that piece is kind of about that. And
I've heard your guitar playing likened to sort of a percussion sound, which may have something to do with that.
Yeah, I think that might be one of the things that I do. I may play more percussively.
And can you tell us about some of the more sort of hyperbolic memories of Ghana?
What's hyperbolic?
Like
mean?
Outrageous, like good or bad, but it has to be outrageous.
I think they were all pretty good. It was funny, because people there would just call me white man. I'd just be walking down the street and they'd say, hey, white man, come here. And that was always kind of fun.
So did you learn a lot?
Yeah, I learned a ton. And it was really fun because I'd been to Italy before, but I'd never really been any place that was completely different from the small town in New England where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was crazy. It was a lot of fun. I love going to the marketplaces there and seeing all the food stuff, and it just was completely crazy. A lot of fun. Yeah.
And did you study music theory and like concentrate on
I studied like African drumming in particular, and there's kind of theory that people have sort of put on it like by studying it, but it's all taught by ear. So that was one of the reasons why I went there, because I really wanted to develop. I had studied classical music growing up, so I had a really good sense of how to read and that sense. But my ability to sort of listen and learn hadn't really been developed so much. So I really wanted to develop that part of my brain. And that's what I did there, because everything's taught by ear and you just sort of learn these long pieces over months at a time. It was a lot of fun.
It's like the art of storytelling.
Yeah,
there's
actually.
No notes. You're not reading from a book.
Yeah. And a lot of the pieces are use words as well, and songs and dance movements. They're all kind of combined. So it is kind of like a story. That's a good way to put it.
And with your formal education in at the university, did you formally study music?
Yeah, I studied. I had a guitar teacher, but I also my sort of biggest influence was Yusef Lateef. I studied with him every week for a few hours. We would get together early in the morning, and it was pretty heavy.
That is awesome.
Yeah, we would talk about all sorts of different stuff. I remember I learned this Charlie Parker tune called Donna Lee, and I went and showed him, hey, Yusef, check this out. And he looked at me kind of sternly, and he said, Aram, I learned that song in 1945. You shouldn't still be playing it right now. You know, he was basically telling me that I need to find my own voice and start playing music of now. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, he's right, but he's wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, it was cool.
Yeah, no, that is cool. And you've played with Hugh Mascella.
Yeah, I actually played with him in Ghana. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
How did that happen?
It was just a session and just all.
He happened to be there, and then the people that you were learning with.
Yeah.
Just put you in touch.
Yeah, because he was living in Ghana at the time, and it was cool. I played with a lot of cool people in Ghana. And,
That's great, and you had like a month or two run on your Aram Scarum food blog that took you. I mean, you had writings. Each writing was from a different part of Europe. So what were you doing over there? And give us some...
I was actually, this last tour, I was on tour with Sean Noonan, the drummer, and the bass player, Shanir Blumenkrantz. We had a trio that we were touring with. And, all the food was pretty good. I think my favorite food was in Poland. People don't really think of Polish cuisine as necessarily being
Poland and Ireland are sort of in the same camp.
But it's the food there is amazing. It's as good as anything I've had in Italy or India or anywhere else. It's so good. And I had really good barszcz. They pronounce it barszcz, not borscht, in Poland. It was amazing. And really good pierogies. Oh, and then the other highlight of this trip was in Italy. I had a day off, so I went to visit a friend in Tuscany. And we went to the top of this little town that was on a hilltop. And it was just a small little town. We went to get some gelato. And I had this fresh fig and mascarpone cheese gelato.
Mm.
Unreal how good that was.
Holy
cow. How do you think of something that ingenious, putting those two things together in a gelato? Those Italians, they just got it. They just know it.
I had salted pistachios and chocolate the other day, and that's not all that far-fetched, but man, still.
Actually, the pistachio gelato in Italy is unreal.
And it's not neon green, is it?
No. Well, it can be greenish, but it's so good. Always get the pistachio. I'm not a big pistachio ice cream fan, but in Italy, I always get it.
So let's hear you rock out a little bit on this made by Kelly, guitar with Jim Jarmusch. What is it? Pinewood?
Pinewood. Yeah, the wood was cut over 150 years ago, too, so it's really old. So I guess I have to move the mic. There we go.
That was
awesome.
Aaron Bajakian. Really, really cool. What's going on in your near future? I know you have a project with yoga, related to yoga music, but outside of that, which you'll hopefully get to in a second, what are you doing with either solo or with some of these other musicians?
I'm playing
musicians
with lots
about.
Of people. Lots
of people all the time.
Yeah, so... I always update my MySpace page, Aaron Bajakian. You can go to aaronbajakian.com to check that out. But I always update that with who I'm playing with, and yeah, playing with lots of different people.
Anything happening specific in January?
I'm playing at the Living Room on the 15th with Silben Sandovar and Brian Meese. They're two awesome singer-songwriters out of Queens, and that should be a lot of fun. I think we're playing at 11:00 on Friday, January 15th. Should be an awesome
show. The Living
show.
Room, another fantastic place. How could I think that they all left us? We're going to pull up that last song. We can pull it up and then pass.
Cool.
I don't think they were able to find it.
Oh, yeah, I have it right here.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. So is it true that you're a real estate broker?
I am a real estate broker. That's my sort of day job.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's probably how you got keyed into the Jackson Heights scene, because it's
actually
like
I actually used a broker because I don't really know that market so well. But yeah, I mostly work I work in all parts of the city, but yeah, it's a fun contrast to my music career, and it's
you have to highlight the amenities outside the tiny slovenly apartments that are out there.
Yeah, like the gym and the
great taco truck that sits outside your window 24 hours.
Well, actually,
a day.
I always try and bring food I try and take all my clients out to restaurants and show them where all the good places in each neighborhood are.
How is business?
That's been great, actually. I've been really busy. So,
in a city with several million people, I guess.
Yeah, there's always people moving to New York and always people looking for a new place. And it's a fun job. You get to deal with all sorts of different types of people.
Mm-hmm.
Nice people, not so nice people. But everybody, everybody's pretty cool. It's fun.
So I listened to a performance of yours with a new outfit who, or maybe perhaps not so new, but a different group of musicians that were playing at a temple in New Jersey. And you're like, oh, that was nothing. I played 10 million people in front of 10 million people.
Oh, 2 million people. Yeah,
in
India. We played at the world's largest ever group meditation. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records, and it was a lot of fun. It was in Bangalore, India, about, I think, in 2007. And that was with this group called the Bhakti Group. And we're like a kirtan band. It's kind of like in the vein of Krishna Das, where you know, the singer will sing like sort of a chant in Sanskrit, and then the audience responds. So it's interactive. And it's really awesome because you get, you know, however many people you're playing for, everybody's saying and thinking the same thing at the same time. So it becomes really, the energy gets really strong. It's a lot of fun. It's different from most of the type of stuff I typically play with people. But it's a really fun group to play with.
It, it brings, I mean, when you think of meditation, you don't think of, there being any major noise involved, but then of course the whirling dervishes bring in, music and chant.
Yeah. And with that group, I'm not quite so noisy because I want to make sure that people can meditate and enjoy that aspect of it. It's more about that.
So that was in 2007, and 2 million people, which we were saying, is not a crazy thought when you think of how
yeah, in India, it's actually
concept.
Yeah, in India, you can get a lot of people together pretty easily. But we actually just spent the whole summer recording our first full-length album, and that's going to be released on January 15th. Actually, online you can get it, and you can get actual hard copies of it probably around the 20th or so. We're really excited about. Oh yeah, and that's another gig we're doing. We're playing at the, I think it's called the Subdub Center on 29th Street on January 30th at 7:30. And you can go to bhaktiband.com for details about that.
Okay, so that's January 29th.
January 30th. Sorry.
January 30th, 2010.
Yeah.
And that's in New York City, and that sounds pretty cool. That must have been...
it's going to be an awesome event.
How long did it take you guys to record this new record?
Well, we spent, I would say, in total maybe like about a month. So, yeah.
Nice, pretty tight.
Yeah, it was pretty good. We rehearsed a lot before, and we were able to get it quickly. So.
And that's what good musicians offer when you work with so many other talents. You pick things up quickly, you mesh quickly, easily, it seems.
And
like
we've been playing together for so long, for 6 years now, that we really mesh really quickly, which is fun.
Well, yeah, that's definitely something special. So you've pulled up a track for us.
Yeah.
What track
this,
is it?
This is us playing Amazing Grace, and my friend Mary Walker's singing on it, and she has just an amazing voice, and I'm playing guitar.
Absolutely beautiful. So this is Sarah Brightus, and I was speaking with Aaron Bajakian. And he is going to come back sometime soon. Perhaps perhaps we'll have a real estate
show. Oh, yeah, that'll be awesome. Real estate
on
and food.
The station.
Yeah.
And food here on Eat to the Beat, where we are forever reminding y'all that there is a tight union between food and art and music and fun. Take care. Whoa.
sweet the sound that sang a song like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind.